Hey, it's Mike Valenti. Did you know the Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valenti Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Heads or tails?
The targeting thing. I love it. I'm going to go with tails.
It is a head. I will defer.
All right, Gator, here we go, baby.
Let's go.
All right, question number one. I like that enthusiasm. All right, will Indiana regret giving Sir Cignetti a sizable extension?
No, I don't think they will, because I think that they have big-time donors that are willing to keep funding this program. I think Kurt Cignetti's a heck of a coach. I do agree with Doug and a lot of things he said about him with doing things the right way to build the program quickly with rating those smaller schools and bringing all the talent that he had when he was at the lesser level. But I believe in his coaching ability. So the big donors like Mark Cuban and others, they'll step up and keep funding that program. He'll do just fine. I think the one thing they have to worry about is, you know, him leaving for greener pastures. This is a great contract. You're getting, what, $11.5 million a season. That's awesome. But in today's landscape, somebody else can come in and offer more money. So I'd be more worried about them losing him than him not doing a good job.
Yeah, this extension, I don't think they'll regret it, because I don't think this extension has anything to do whatsoever with year 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It has everything to do with this year. They wanted to put a bow on and wrap up speculation that he was going to leave this year. They have a shot to win the national championship. They're paying a price tag to keep it locked in and focused on this year. Do I think he can repeat the success he's had when he rated the group of five, because he was a group of five coach? Can he repeat that moving forward? I'm not sure, because a lot of those guys are about to cycle out. But it has nothing to do with the length of the contract, whether the losses come down the road. I actually expect them to take a step back. But this is 100% about eliminating distractions and making a run for this year's national championship, so I don't think they'll regret it.
Yeah, I'm happy that Indiana got to keep him, because a lot of times these smaller, you know, programs that don't care about football as much as other programs, they lose their guy, and they were able to keep their guy. So really hope they don't regret this. They get, I guess, forced into these big extensions, but like you said, Doug, I mean, that this is maybe for the short term, and you can always renegotiate moving forward. I'm glad they stepped up and did it, though. If he continues to do what he's doing, I root for non-traditional schools to crash the party all the time, and Indiana doing that, I'm all for it. All right, of all the coaches who have been fired so far, who will resurface and do the best job when they come back?
Please, so don't have the same answer. Please,
two of the fired coaches have winning records. James Franklin at a power program, Penn State, and Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State. And at Oklahoma State, they were lacking in NIL. His quarterback got hurt this year, which made a bad situation worse. I think you put him in a supportive program, and he will take off. He went 170-90 at Oklahoma State. I think Mike Gundy somewhere else could kill it.
He's no longer 40.
No, he's not.
But he's also, it's not like he's 60.
No.
I'm going to go with Billy Napier. He's only 46 years old. He's got a career record of 62-35, albeit because he coached at Louisiana before that. But that's important, because I think he ends up back in the Bayou taking over for Brian Kelly when he gets dumped at LSU. I think they're going to welcome him back, and he did some great things over at Louisiana. He had some really good seasons there. He went, his last 3 years, he went 11-3, 10-1, and 12-1 his last year there, winning the West. Actually won it all four the seasons while he was in the Sun Belt Conference. So that's who I'm going to go with.
So my answer, I don't know if he'll do the best job, but he's the one I'm kind of rooting for, and that's former Colorado State head coach Jay Norville. And I just liked what he did with versus Deion, trying to get in that rivalry going a little bit. Obviously, they lost, you know, and he couldn't keep up. He only had one winning season, which was last year. And then this year, they had the short lease with him, so they moved on. I think he just is one of those guys, though, that needs to stay in a smaller smaller conference, smaller school, and do well there and stay there. But and then build that back up. And just, I don't think he'll resurface as far as like a powerhouse or anything like that anywhere in one of the power fives. But I think smaller school, smaller conference, he could do well again. All right, Minnesota beat Nebraska last Friday night. This is PJ Fleck's ninth year at Minnesota. Will he ever make the college football playoff with the Gophers?
You know, I think that's amazing when you say it's his ninth year. It feels like it was just yesterday that he left Western to take the job. And yet now it's 9 years later. I think it's safe to say after 9 years at Minnesota, he's a hell of a coach. He really is a hell of a coach. He gets the most out of his players. And the only way that Minnesota is going to get to the college football playoff is if somebody in their alumni, if they've got rich alumni base, if somebody steps up and says, all right, let's start fundraising for this guy and give him the necessary means to take this team to the next level. You saw what Cignetti did in Indiana. They got some backing there. Why not dip into the deep pockets with some people from Minnesota, get it going the right way there, because this guy can flat out coach. You couple that with getting the occasional favorable schedule, which really helped Indiana last year, and I think he can get there.
Gator, could they beat Iowa this year? Could Minnesota beat Iowa this year?
Sure.
Their other games are Michigan State, Northwestern, and Wisconsin. They're 5-2. They play at Oregon. If they run the table, are they going this year? Minnesota? Have they kind of snuck back into this? Nobody's talking about them.
If they beat Oregon, then Oregon's done, right? So that's an interesting point to bring up there. And it's I guess it's quite possible, but you got Indiana. And
yeah, I don't know. Look, that's a big ask, obviously, winning at Oregon. Do I think he could do it? Yes. On top of that, he's won 11 games there once. The Big Ten, the next three seasons, Minnesota's regular season schedules, next three seasons, they play Ohio State twice, Oregon once, Michigan once, Penn State once. That's it from the traditional powers. Other teams are going to be good in there.
What about Michigan State?
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Why don't you say that?
You want me to include them? I didn't count their games against Michigan State.
It just make me feel a little better. Come on, man. It's rivalry week. Throw me a bone.
I think the Big Ten have done them a super big solid. Yeah, I think Fleck is going to get them there.
So I'll never say never, but if you're making me pick yes or no, I'm going to say no. It's very unlikely. Someone does crash the party, it seems like, and if they keep continuing to expand the playoff, obviously that's going to help their chances. But like I said, I go back to my original answer. If it's a yes or no question, I'm going to say no. Rutgers, they play Purdue Saturday, which begs the question, what's the least desirable Big Ten school to be a fan of?
Okay, look, at least at Purdue, you got a basketball program, and I think it's kind of an underrated place. I've hung out at Purdue a little bit, and I used to think very, very little of West Lafayette, but I've had some fun in West Lafayette. I mean, it's Rutgers. Rutgers looks, it doesn't look anything like the rest of the Big Ten schools. They've had a little bit of success in football. They're having problems recreating it now under good old what's-his-face who's back there on campus, Shiano. You can make a strong case for Maryland. Think of a Maryland glory day.
Boomer.
Yeah, right? But I'm going to go Rutgers.
Full disclosure, my dad went to Purdue, so I have to eliminate Purdue from the list. Purdue's an excellent school. I mean, sure. If you want to be an engineer, you go to Purdue. It's a great school. But the football program has been bleh for a long time. It's been a while since Drew Brees was there when they had a couple of really good years. But they were also once known as quarterback U. It's got to be Rutgers. Come on. Nobody goes to games in that place. They've never been relevant in football and basketball or in life. I mean, their most famous alumni is Tony Soprano. It's a fictional character. That guy's their most famous alumni. Nobody cares about Rutgers. The Scarlet Knights, have you seen that guy? Their mascot? Please. At least Purdue Pete could kick some ass.
Yeah, so I was going back and forth between Rutgers and Maryland, to be honest with you. And then with Maryland, it's like, I don't even believe they're in the Big Ten still. I just don't, right? They're a basketball school, not in the Big Ten, though. And no one cares about football, obviously. And that's what this question is about. Rutgers, I feel like they should be playing community colleges. They are not a real school, let alone a Big Ten school,
big
right?
Big rivalry, Rutgers and Monmouth.
I don't want to rip on community college. Community college serves a purpose, but... Rutgers, when I was on the campus, this feels like a community college campus, and I think community colleges are fine, but it's in the Big Ten.
The McComb Monarchs are going, hey, whoa!
Sorry, my bad.
So I'm gonna go Rutgers.
Shots fired.
All right, Utah and BYU both wore their home uniforms this past Saturday night. Would you be against Michigan and MSU doing the same thing?
I don't hate it. I'll tell you that. I love it when USC and UCLA do it. I think it's awesome. And remember years ago, they did that and the NCAA got upset that you can't do that and they flagged them. And so like the schools took it upon themselves to create another penalty to offset it. So it's like, just shut up. Let us do what we want to do. Enough of your rules. I like the idea more if Michigan were to show up wearing yellow jerseys with the blue pants and then... Well, the yellow jerseys with the blue pants, and then Michigan State goes with green with the green jersey and the white pants. I think that's a cool look to see that contrast. I don't know if it looks as good with the blue against the green. It's kind of dark with a night game. So, but I don't hate it.
Michigan's won the maize jerseys twice, in 1928 against Army and in 2017 in that neutral site game against Florida. A green and blue contrast wouldn't contrast enough, especially in a night game. If they, I can see Michigan, Ohio State doing it because I think the scarlet and the blue would contrast enough. But I can't see dark
traditionalist.
You
went with scarlet.
Green.
He could have taken a shot and gone red.
No. Anyway, too much respect. Anyway, bottom line is I don't think they could do blue and green. Maize and green, maybe.
I like it because. As long as you have the contrast of colors, like you're saying, I think it pops more on TV. I think it's really cool. Strangely enough, though, I wish basketball wouldn't do it and would go back to the home whites when all the teams had to wear white at home or yellow if you're the Lakers. But now they let the teams do whatever they want and have so many jerseys that are alternate, City Connect, whatever. So there's more color. But for basketball, I wish the home teams wore the white and the road teams wore the colors.
We do see that in basketball. Don't we see Michigan wearing the yellow jerseys, Michigan State with the green?
Yeah.
I love it.
I was talking more NBA style, but yes, I know what you mean. All right, call your shot now. Who plays in the national championship game?
This is so far out. And
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.